Morning, everyone. Happy Monday. Just like to declare the meeting open at 9:32. I'll start by acknowledging our traditional owners, the Quandamooka people, and we pay respects to their elders past and present. Just before we start to, because we don't have a statutory meeting in the short term, I just wanted to take this opportunity to acknowledge Konchaka, who passed away recently. He will have a state funeral on Friday, obviously. His name is synonymous with the seat of Bowman and Redlands, and was a great contributor, not only through his public life and service as a federal member in various ministerial roles, but certainly in the broader community through his churches, etc. So no doubt he's made a mark on Redlands, and his legacy will continue in various ways across the country. And certainly on behalf of Council, we acknowledge his contributions and pay our condolences and sympathies to his family. Moving on, councillors. Leave of absence. I haven't been advised and we're all present. Just to remind you, declaration of interests on any items of business, councillors. I won't read through that. I think you're fairly familiar with that in regards to your material personal interest or your conflict of interest, and informing the meeting accordingly. The next item, of course, will be the budget address, which I'm very proud to present to you, and it always gives me great pleasure to finalise what's been months of discussion and debate so that we can move forward with the next financial year. And now I present the Redlands City Council 2017-18 budget. Last year, when this council was elected, we all made a promise to govern the city with a unified approach, with the community as our guide. And over the last 14 months, we have done just that, and today we adopt a budget that will continue this strong community-first approach. This is a priority budget. It reflects what the community told us as to what they wanted at the last election, especially investment to stimulate local business and job creation, as well as doing what we needed to make our city a better connected city. In December last year, councillors united to adopt six strategic priorities to deliver on the community's wishes, and these priorities have formed the foundation of today's $300 million budget. They are transport and connectivity, getting our residents where they need to go faster and safer, sport, education and the arts, giving our residents the foundations for a strong future, be it in the classroom, on the stage or on the sporting field, economic development, giving businesses a reason to invest in our city and confidence to employ our locals. Planning, adopting a clearer city plan that gives both our community and the industry much more confidence. Our branding identity, setting our city apart from the rest, creating civic pride and putting us on the national and international tourism map. And last but not least, number six, which is smart cities and digital connectivity, which means investing in digital pathways, recognising that today's businesses can be home and cloud-based, and that we can no longer rely on the NBN being the only solution for our digital connectivity. In adopting this budget, we have balanced these priorities with the need to keep costs down for our community. The result is a responsible plan that invests heavily in our city and builds on our strong foundations while minimising the cost impact of our residents. Under this budget, a typical Redland household, that's a Category 1A owner-occupied property with a property value of about $305,257, will see a modest increase of just 2.73%, or about $1.43 a week, including all council-controlled water consumption, rates and utility charges. This increase is in line with the Redland City Council CPI increase, meaning we are increasing rates and council utility charges by the same amount our costs are actually going up to run this city. We have managed to keep general rates increases to a minimum despite cost increases from other levels of government, including an 8.5% increase in the state government's bulk water costs. And this increase follows an increase of 9.2% last year and more than 10% the year before, meaning the price we pay the state government for water to travel from dams to our local wastewater treatment plants and water treatment plants has almost gone up a third over the last 3 years. To help offset these state control water increases, Council has held the retail component at the same price since 2015-16. For our residents, this effectively offsets the state government increases, meaning less pain at the tap. While Council continues to absorb millions of dollars in external cost increases rather than passing them on to the residents, unfortunately we cannot absorb all of it and continue to provide a high level of service, the service that our communities deserve. This year's budget also includes increases in commercial and shopping centre rates, designed to help drive investment and growth in the local business community by investing back into our local economy. The Redlands has some of the lowest commercial rates in South East Queensland. However, we know the business community wants us to do more to stimulate our local economy. So in line with the strategic priorities mentioned earlier, the rise in commercial rates will support measures to boost our economic development and help local businesses and enterprises to grow through the master planning of key precincts and making our city more attractive to trade and investment. We have an economic development framework in place now, and we need to ensure that we have the resources to fully develop and implement the action plans required for our key industry sectors. This year's budget predicts an operating deficit of $11 million, about 3.7% of our cash budget. When capital revenue and expenses are included, our final budgeted net result is actually a positive position in the order of $25 million. Increasingly, we are finding better and smarter ways of doing business that reduce our operating costs during the year, and again this year, we will look for efficiencies with the aim of reducing costs for our residents. We have a proven track record in this regard, having delivered three consecutive operational surpluses since 2014, and I am confident we can get there again in 2017-18. This year's budget also predicts new borrowings of less than 1% of revenue. This also follows our strong track record of no new borrowing since 2013. We also continue to have the lowest household debt in South East Queensland, showing that we are not willing to live beyond our means and expect our community to pick up the tab. Our cash balances are in exceptional shape, and so we will use existing surplus funds and only borrow when necessary for intergenerational capital projects. One such project is the Redland Aquatic Centre and Emergency Precinct, a project that will bring together a new community aquatic centre, Queensland Surf Life Saving Centre of Excellence, and emergency service facilities into one precinct, delivering significant economic and community benefits to the city and the wider region. This year's budget will see Council invest in the future of the city with a healthy $82 million capital expenditure program while maintaining Council's low levels of debt. This year's capital program includes $23.64 million for road projects, including the Green Seal program and other regional road alliance program, $10.77 million for infrastructure, including the Indigiscapes Visitor Centre expansion, the Cleveland Aquatic Precinct redevelopment, and the Bayview Conservation Area at Redland Bay, $14.39 million for open space and conservation projects, including South East Thornlands Park, the Public Amenities Expansion Program, William Ross Park and Henry Ziegenfuss Sports Field Improvements, $14.47 million for marine and foreshore projects, including the long-awaited Macleay Island Ramp car park, seawall and asbestos capping, canal revetment wall upgrades and the Raby Bay Esplanade Canoe Launching Pontoon. $1.88 million for community infrastructure, including libraries, the Redlands Performing Arts Centre and Redland Art Gallery Public Art and Acquisitions. This year's budget will also include investment in greening our city to be funded through a flat $20 increase in the environment levy. This will help launch our 1 million native plants initiative, which is also supported by the federal government's 20 million tree program, which we hope to be able to accelerate this program with. Over the years, we've secured about 10,000 hectares of conservation land across the city, and this investment will help us green this land along with other land across the city, maintaining the unique environmental character the Redlands is known for. I'm pleased to say that this year's budget also continues our support for local pensioners by maintaining pensioner rebates at $335 per year for a full pensioner or $167.50 for a part pensioner, some of the most generous in South East Queensland. Councillors, today marks the culmination of months of work, and I'd like to sincerely thank my councillor colleagues for their dedication, their constructive debate, and the many compromises that have made this possible to come together today to adopt our 17-18 budget, the numerous workshops and very intense deliberations. I'm proud to say that while this budget is a second for the new council, it is the first for our new look executive leadership team, our ELT, Infrastructure and Operations General Manager Peter Best, our Organisational Services General Manager John Oberhart, and our Chief Executive Officer Andrew Testman. Welcome to your very first Redland City Council budget, and thank you for your guidance and support, certainly towards the end of those deliberations. Thank you also go to the rest of our ELT, our Community and Customer Service General Manager Louise Roussan, who's on leave at the moment and sitting in for her is Kim Kerwin, Acting General Counsel Claire Lovejoy, and our Transport and Connectivity Project Manager Andrew Ross, who I think I saw at the back of the room. And of course, a big thank you to our Chief Financial Officer, Deborah Corbett-Hall, and her finance team. No questions too hard. Her responses are always very timely and on the ball, and I know that she spent many, many hours with each of us collectively and some of us individually to get us to this point, and your time is greatly appreciated. We're very fortunate to have you, Deborah, and your team, so thank you. I know I speak for everyone in talking about the countless hours and appreciating the countless hours that you put into this budget. So on behalf of the city, I thank you. Councillors, and to the community, on behalf of Council, I am proud to commend this year's budget to you. Thank you. Councillors, we now go into the business of our budget, and we start with item 5.1. which is the adoption of the 2017-2018 rate notice due dates. Councillor Bishop will move that. It will be seconded by Councillor Mitchell. Is there anything you'd like to speak to that, Councillor Bishop?
No, Madam Mayor, just notifying of the charges, which are obviously essential, so that officers can send out the notices so that we can continue to run the city.
Okay. Any other comments? Any speakers against? There being none, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Item 5.2 is the debt policy 2017-2018, policy number 1838. Councillor Boglari, you'd like to move that?
Yes, I'll move 5.2, the debt policy for 2017 to 2018.
Thank you. And it's seconded by Councillor Hughes. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Boglari?
Oh, just because there were a couple of changes, nothing terribly significant, but just for transparency, I was going to ask the CFO to speak to that, if I may, through you, please.
CFO?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Through you, thank you for the opportunity, Councillor. Council reviews its debt policy on an annual basis, and it may recall that we looked at this both before Christmas when we were talking about the long-term financial strategy and then again during the budget deliberations. As part of the requirements of the Local Government Act and regulation, we include a debt schedule there, and this year of note there is a provision for some new debt to be drawn down in years 1, 2 and 3 of the 10-year forecast. So that's just a provision. It doesn't mean that Council will draw that debt down. Should Council decide to by the end of the 17-18 financial year, it can then complete its 10-year profile, send it through to the Department and to QTC and draw those funds down should they meet the requirements of the debt policy. So there's no change to the policy intent. Very similar to previous years, we've really just updated it to reflect the current QTC product offerings. We know that we locked in a new debt profile on the 1st of April 2016, so there's a few minor word changes from the last time we looked at this as to the version that we tabled today. Happy to take any questions.
Any speaker against? Any comments, questions? Oh, there being none, I put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Item 5.3. Categorisation of land for differential rating 2017-18. Councillor Elliott, you're happy to move that?
Thanks, Mayor. Yes, I'd move that item 5.3, categorisation of land for differential rating 2017-2018. I move the officer's recommendation be accepted.
Move Councillor Elliott, seconded Councillor Edwards. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Elliott?
Yes, thanks, Mayor, just briefly. First of all, I'd like to commend Council that we've adopted the multiplier in the rating categories. I said this is much simpler. I congratulate the Mayor, she brought this to the table. And in last year's, I think we kicked this off, or a year before. And I think it gives us the opportunity that we can move things around, and it's very simple to move things rather than a lot of calculations and stuff like that. Good things come to those people who wait. I've been for many years banging on about business rates, and while we support business, I consider heavily, that it is time to take up some of that heavy lifting. The community, the residents have been taking that heavy lifting for quite some time now. So following the good work where we brought the Simbi Bay Islanders into the fold last year, bring them on in, we simplified the rating system there. This year we've asked business to take some of that heavy lifting and to keep our rates down. So certainly it's a great contribution. I think it's an extra $1.2 million we would have been had to add to our negativity in the bottom line at the moment. But certainly I congratulate that, and I'm happy with the budget as it stands, Mayor. Thank you.
Any speakers against, councillors? Any comments with that? I'll comment, Councillor Edwards. I'm sorry.
Yes, I just wanted to say that this mythology now gives us some consistency going forward, so everything can be based on this, so it gives some surety in our planning going ahead that we've got a method to work to.
Comment, Councillor Hughes?
A question to our CFO, and I'm almost embarrassed to ask the question. However, I just wondered with the rating categories, and we have 1A, 1B, 2A, 2B, then we jump 6, 8, 10, 11, 16, 17 and 19. Is the numbers that are missing, are they older categories that have been and gone? That's what I would presume. But I was just going to ask that question. I'd never asked it before.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So you don't need me, Council. You've answered your own question, so well done. So, yeah, we sort of have some subcategories, so that 1A and 1B... That's exactly right, Councillor. So we try and keep that for comparability. So you'll probably recall this year that we have previous Category 14 has gone out and been replaced by Categories 16A and 16B. We try and have subcategories so that the community and our officers can see that alignment, so that the subcategories, you can sort of try and work out the differential it might be through the value of the property.
Any other questions or comments? There being none, Councillor Elliott, did you need to sum up?
No.
I'll put the motion then. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you. Item 5.4 is our financial strategy 2017 to 2027. Councillor Ed, would you like to move that?
Thank you. Item 5.4, financial strategy 2017-18. Move the officer's recommendation to adopt the strategy.
So moved and seconded by Councillor Golay. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Edwards?
Well, this is a financial sustainability document, but I've just asked our CFO, Deborah, whether she could just summarise the purpose of what this document is.
Sure. CFO?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Through you, thank you for the opportunity, Councillor. So the financial strategy, some people would call it a long-term financial plan, is an opportunity really to set a roadmap for the longer term. So the Local Government Act and regulation require us to have 10 years of numbers, so 10 years of financial statements. There's no longer a legal requirement to actually have a plan or a strategy that wrap around that. We're committed to continuing to do that at Redland City Council, so I've been championing that we continue with this strategy. Once again, it is a roadmap or a road plan. What we try and do in this document is really to highlight the opportunities and also some of the risks, so that as we move through the financial year and come to budget deliberations, we may wish to talk to some of the opportunities or the risks. We consider this very much a living document, so the strategy was last adopted in December 2015. But behind the scenes, there is a comprehensive QTC model where we look at the revenues, expenditures, the cash flows and the balance sheet line items at every budget review. So the finance team and a fine set of people across the road update this document in terms of the numbers very frequently as Council moves through its budget year. I know that in recent years I've included the parameters and assumptions. This year they feature on page 17 of the strategy. And what the team's trying to demonstrate there is really full transparency, so that we know that a model, a financial model, is very much like a sausage machine. So if we don't agree with the inputs, we may not necessarily agree with the outputs. So what we try and do on page 17 is show really the recipe. So what are the underlying parameters and assumptions that we then to apply to the base year to get a 10-year roadmap. So happy to take any questions, but credit to the team, because I think this is a really good document to try and suggest that even though Council reviews its budget every year, there are some longer-term opportunities and risks that we certainly have at front of mind. Thank you.
Thank you, CFO. Any other questions? Councillor Bishop?
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and I'll speak about the fine work the officers have done in a moment. But in this on page 5, if I may, at this point with a new executive leadership team, at the point of looking at our budget and doing what I always like to encourage us to do as we are sitting in the chairs of those who will come after and manage the city's affairs for the future. As we look at the asset sustainability ratio, which I know has been much contested and is much spoken about and oft dismissed as a relevant metric, in the absence of any other clarity about our long-term trajectory, and I know that there is some fine work being done by officers, which will take another couple of years to get absolute clarity about in terms of the Portfolio Management Office. What, CFO, does this tell us about the organisation now and where we're tracking and what we need to be mindful of?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Through you to the Councillor, thank you for the question. The 11 KPIs on page 5 of the current financial strategy really tell us where we're at now and the profile of where we think Council may head based on the information we know to date. So I'm quite keen to emphasise that. What we do over a 10-year forward projection is very much with today's information. We know that information changes all the time, interest rates change all the time, the markets change all the time, situations change all the time, and of course the appetite of the community and council changes all the time. So as at May 2017, based on the information we have today, so that's our current year budget, which we know is forecasting an operating deficit, and the budget that Council has developed since February of this year, the KPIs, our key performance indicators, are suggesting that aside of the asset sustainability ratio and the operating surplus ratio for the 17-18 year, should Council progress in the current vein with the assumptions and parameters that are on page 17, these are the outputs from a financial perspective. So in terms of is it sustainable, the KPI suggests that it is. In terms of the asset sustainability ratio, I'm lucky enough to sponsor the asset management project, and as part of that we're looking at other metrics. Two that I'm happy to talk to are the asset consumption ratio and the asset renewal funding ratio. So as part of the project, and it has to be done in consultation with the business and not just my recommendation, we're looking to build some future metrics in to cover off on that asset management to demonstrate that the council really is appropriately managing its assets. Happy to take further questions, but that's based on our information today with some underlying assumptions. If anyone knows how interest rates will play out, feel free to let me know. Happy to include those on page 17. So we're pulling on the information we have to hand. We're networking with appropriate bodies, government departments, anyone we can draw on. We have a great working relationship with QTC, so we get a lot of insight into how we can profile better and model better. And based on what's in not only the financial strategy, but you'll notice that the 10-year figures are also in our budget that Council has in front of it today. That's the information that we have.
Does that provide you some clarity, Councillor?
Yes, it did. I suppose those who look with clarity towards that future like to see that ratio a little higher in those outer years than where it's going, and I'll leave it at that. But for those who wish to bear those factors in mind, there is some work that needs to be done as a result of where we are at this point in time, and it's nice to see that us addressing that and having it in our outer years. We need to do some more work together collectively as a city.
CFO.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. To you, just to talk to the asset sustainability ratio, we have asset service management plans at Redland City Council, and the outputs of those asset service management plans drive the renewal spend. So where council may not hit the what I deem to be a stretch target of 90% of depreciation being renewals, we certainly ensure that what the asset service management plans are telling us is what the ELT would expect the council to deliver on. So council officers should be looking at those plans and saying this needs renewing now or a few years down the track. So it really should be the asset service management plans driving that renewal spend as opposed to meeting a target or a ratio.
Mentioned many times that the asset sustainability ratio, as has been raised by external bodies, is not always apples to apples across councils, depending on the age of the city, assets, etc. So despite our submissions to the state on this, it remains, and hence we continue to actually look at the real life condition of our assets, which is what Deb has just said. Councillor Boglari, has he had a question?
Oh, thank you. Just because there's a couple of these targets on perimeters on page 17 are stretched in the outer years, I'm still struggling a bit with having total confidence that we're going to be able to actually achieve these targets. And I just want to ask the CFO or the CEO, probably the CEO, as he's the one whose position says the fiscal financial sustainability of council rests with you. I know I've asked previously, but I'm still at that point where I'd just like you to explain your situation and that you are confident going forward that we can meet these efficiencies.
Thanks, and through you, Madam Mayor, the CFO has said this is a roadmap for the future. We do it in the interest of transparency, so it's not actually a legislated requirement to pull this all together in the way that it is. It does provide a degree of organisational tension, which I think as a CEO is helpful in any organisation. So there are some figures in there that are stretch targets, as Deb has said. There are things we can do in terms of our own efficiencies, the use of technology, the use of better procurement, that we, I think, appropriately should be looking at ourselves to try to meet some of those targets. It is a document that is a living document. It'll be reviewed again. I think we start that review again in September of this year. And obviously, being new to the organisation, my focus on the organisational efficiencies is very high. And I'm satisfied with the work that's in this document going forward represents an appropriate strategy for the organisation.
Thank you. I do have faith in the new CEO and the CFO, and I do thank you for your transparency in this process in explaining all the perimeters and actually the impact on us. I still have some concerns, but we do owe it to the community to cut the waste wherever we can within our organisation. And I guess having stretch targets sends a clear message out throughout the organisation that is definitely our priority. And as the CFO has said, it is a roadmap, so it can be changed as we're going along. It's a guide. So I just want to say thank you for all the work, and even though I still have reservations, I'm looking forward to all the revisions and ensuring the integrity, you know, of the document. Thank you.
Any other comments or questions? If I just probably add to that, I think it's always important, whether it's in private enterprise or in government, that the organisation, you know, keeps a finger on the pulse and does stretch the capacity, and particularly in the area of efficiency. It sends the right message. Certainly we're not talking about anything major, we're just talking about looking at things we do and doing them better, and I think we should do that on a daily basis, keep an open mind. And having those stretch targets obviously allows us to see what the outcome could potentially be should we be able to achieve that. So, like Councillor Boglari, I thank the officers for their willingness and their transparency in allowing that to occur. With that, handing back to Councillor Elliott. No, I wasn't Councillor Elliott. No, Councillor Edwards, pardon me. Nothing further. I put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors. Next item, fees and charges. Councillor Bishop, would you like to move that?
Yes, Madam Mayor, I'd like to move item 5.5, fees and charges, as proposed for 2017-18, which is obviously the legislative requirement to publish to the Register of Cost Recovery Fees and develop a charge schedule carried out during the budget process.
Move Councillor Bishop, seconded Councillor Golay. Would you like to speak to it?
Only to say that obviously there are many categories underneath this, and obviously the charges associate with the various people across the city. If we have not got something right, I encourage the community to let us know. We can always contest those things, and they can be subject to further review. So please do keep that communication open with councillors, and we can continue the discussion with officers. But thanks very much, and just like to put that motion.
Any speakers against? There being none, I put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors. The next item, councillors, is 5.6 and the associated subcategories of that. As we have done previously, we've agreed to move those items on block. So the motion will actually talk about the adopting the balance of the agenda and all other aspects of the budget and financial documents as recommended by the council officers in report items 5.6.1 to 5.6.10. And I believe Councillor Hughes, you're happy to move that.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. I'd just like to quickly highlight those. In moving 5.6, adoption of budget estimates and fixing of rates and charges, 2017-18 does have the 10 dot points. 5.6.1, statement of estimated financial position. 5.6.2, national competition policy requirements for significant and other business activities. 5.6.3, environment separate charge. 5.6.4, landfill remediation separate charge. 5.6.5, SES administrative separate charge. 5.6.6, Sovereign Waters Lakes Estate special charge. 5.6.7, Aquatic Paradise Canal Estate special charge. 5.6.8, Raby Bay Canal Estate special charge. 5.6.9, Southern Moreton Bay Islands Translink operational special charge. And 5.6.10, Rural Fire Brigade special charge overall plan. Thank you.
Move Councillor Hughes, seconded Councillor Hewlett. Now, councillors, as has been tradition, what I've done previously is obviously this is a document of many compromises, some items that councillors may want to speak for and other elements that they may want to speak against. So I'm going to actually go around the room and give every councillor that opportunity to do so, bearing in mind that we are going to try and keep everyone's comments down to 5 minutes, which is procedural and under our standing orders. I might start with you, Councillor Bishop, and go around that way just to give you the chance, seeing your Division 10 and normally go last. So if we could do that, and then we'll put the motion at the end of that, councillors.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and through you to the officers and councillors, thank you so much for the incredible work that we do in discussion in here, particularly to Chief Financial Officer, no questions too frightening for you to address, and the way you do it is with grace and clarity, which is greatly appreciated. It's tremendous to have the new executive leadership team, and I have confidence and faith that the work to be done in future will be done in that similarly collaborative process. In relation to a point that Councillor Elliott raised before, using a principles-based approach to rating has been a great sense of comfort for me. It means that we are able to bear any scrutiny and able to take a principle-based approach, which I think is really important in terms of making decisions for the city. This is obviously a combination of funds that come from a range of sources, and one of those largest sources is from the residents. As we are at a point in time to make this budget, I cannot help but look back over the last several years and note that there have been impacts, from my view, as a result of the capping of rates. And as an organisation that receives approximately 30% of our funds through that process, I think it's beholden upon us as councillors to be very clear about the current situation, to be very clear about the fundamental requirements of managing the infrastructure of the city, not just this year and during our electoral term, but beyond in those longer terms. And that's when I look to the asset sustainability ratio, in the absence of other clear metrics, to remind us that we need to be very specific, very strategic, and very well considered. We have just come through a time when we've been told no non-renewal of our assets as a result of constraint. We always operate in an environment of constraint, and I thank the officers for dealing with that. It's been an extended period of constraint, and as we look out to the future years, when I see 10 years of no net increase in staff, I would like to make sure that our ELT have the confidence to come to us should they need to at any time to look at the way that the officers who do all the work across this city for this organisation in order to become more efficient, to bring any potential reviews to us for the ways that you might be able to see that they could do that incredible work more effectively. Generally, I'd like to encourage the organisation to support the community through the process of community development, and that's not just to do the things that we want, but also to help the community understand the things that are of importance to them so they can meet their needs in future. There's some questions I've been asking in that space, and we'll continue to. In terms of one of the measures that's in relation to our investment, going through the document the other day, I asked if we could just asterisk what that is relating to, and it's relating specifically to Redlands Investment Corporation. One of the consequences of capping rates was to look at where revenue might come from elsewhere, and I think it's important that we are clear with our community about what the future proposal is philosophically for Redlands Investment Corporation, which is the source of that potential future investment. I think we need to have an increased understanding about that discussion with our community. We need to have that in a way that helps us all go in a direction together towards a place that is going to deliver what we need, not just look at investment from our perspective as councillors. I think that's a conversation that needs to be had with the community. There are many things that I would like to say. Most importantly, community, keep in contact with us about things that you believe are important. And I know that various canal estates will be asking questions about what happens in future. I know there's some community consultation that will be continuing. There'll be more that will be communicated about that. But over the next 12 months, Council has decided to take up the option of levying a charge for the special canal areas, there will be some consultation going forward in relation to how that's charged in future. That will be across the whole city. I think it's really important for us councillors to keep alignment with the community plan, with the corporate plan, and while I don't personally support the six key priorities, I know that is the will of council to do that, but I believe that that and potentially other issues that we've greenlit over the last few years in terms of economic development can create opportunities, certainly, but they can also have an impact on our offices and send them down potential rabbit warrens that aren't necessarily doing what the sectors need. And I would like to just make sure that we encourage the community to stay in contact with us and also those various sectors as we enter a challenging time in future. But I'll support this budget. There are some reservations that I have. Strategic focus is important. Portfolio Management Office for long-term asset sustainability is important. And I thank everyone for the work involved. Thank you.
Councillor Gleeson.
Thanks, Mayor. Firstly, asset sustainability, and to reply on that, I think there's not too many people that disagree that the 90% is really just a stretch target. It's not achievable. I think we maintain our assets fairly well for the size of the council we're in, and we've got to stay realistic on that issue. You mentioned compromise. Is a budget based on compromise? Yes, it is. It's a pretty tough gig for a mayor to ask councillors to support their budget, and there's been a lot of negotiation and talk. Some have compromised more than others, but hopefully you'll get the support today. There's certain issues that I've argued against that I'm going to mention. One is the rate of increase in commercial properties. I've got to really apologise to mum and dads out there that own these small commercial sheds because they are about to get whacked. It's not just about the big mega shopping centres. It's also about your small mum and dad investors in the Redlands are about to get... They're not going to be real happy. Overall, the budget, 2.73% for homeowners, great result. I think anyone who's realistic can acknowledge that's a great outcome for themselves, as opposed to the rate increases in over and above that. But I think everyone can understand CPI increases, so that's I'm quite fine with that. So I don't have a problem with it. I acknowledge the over $23.5 million to go on roads this year. It's going to be a great outcome if we talk about back to basics. Roads is about as basic as you get. And certainly in the last 5 years since I've been here, we've seen a massive difference on the quality of our roads out there right throughout the division. So I'm very happy about that and happy to see that program continue. I'll leave it at that.
Thanks, Councillor Gleeson. Councillor Tolte.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. And as has been mentioned, I'll congratulate you on bringing down another difficult but fair budget. This budget continues on a principle-based approach, which provides for the multipliers of the minimum general rate for different categories. And generally speaking, theoretically, I support that. However, the multipliers agreed to by councillors through the budget deliberations have been, to my mind, an intention in these tough times a step too far for some of our commercial and retail categories. These rises, although argued to be justified when compared to similar rateable properties in other local government areas, are too great. I can't support such an imposition, which, although applied to the most valuable commercial properties, will ultimately be passed through outgoings to small traders struggling in large centres. If the argument for higher levels of multiplication for commercial and retail categories stacks up, then I would have preferred to see this introduced over a longer period with a little more warning for small business. Although there are some aspects to this budget, most particularly the level of some of the multipliers that I don't support, there are some very positive aspects for our city and in particular for Division 6 in the south of our city that I have to support. This is a significant budget with $82 million worth of expenditure. It is great to see record levels of infrastructure improvement to local roads with greater than $23.5 million for our local road programs. Almost $11 million in infrastructure improvements includes the development of the Bayview Conservation Area, which is actually in my division, and the redevelopment of the city's aquatic centre, which is an important whole of city project, which I think the community will really enjoy when it's finalised. We've talked through the budget deliberations and had discussions that fed into this budget With regard to the offer by Queensland Fire and Rural for a Rural Fire Service Brigade for mainland Redland. You will see in the budget papers that at page 67 there is support for the Simbi Rural Fire Operators with an annual household charge of $20 and all other households in the Redlands paying a $5 charge in support of our SES service. I can't overstate my disappointment that the majority of councillors have refused to support a review of these charges to one simple whole of city amount that might have reduced costs for Simbi while providing financial support in the amount of less than what's probably half the average cost of a cup of coffee per household per year in support of fire mitigation, education and protection for mainland residents living among our bushland habitats. The Mayor's mentioned the 10,000 hectares of land that the city keeps in reserves and habitat protection, and I cannot believe that we wouldn't support rural fire mitigation through a volunteer brigade. I hope that the councillors, with support from their residents, will come to understand how important this issue is, particularly to the residents of Division 6. With 10,000 hectares of reserved and bushlands, I can't believe we can't support a couple of dollars per year per household to provide support to a service for a rural fire mitigation brigade for mainland. Support for households in managing the cost of living is a high priority in this budget, and I applaud that. We see owner-occupiers living in Redland looking at a 2.73% modest increase, or $1.43. Again, that's well managed, and although this has been a somewhat difficult process for the budget, that is to be applauded. In this difficult time, cost of living pressures for families are important, and that keeps that rate space down for them. Absorbing those water rises was challenging, and I hope the community will understand that the level of interest and effort that was put into trying to do that as much as is possible. Increases in commercial rates I find problematic, and while I applaud the efforts to promote the local economy, the increases for some as they are passed on from large operators to small business through outgoings will be difficult. Again, it's a good budget under trying circumstances, so well done, Madam Mayor. There are a lot of exciting things in the future in this development and in the outgoing projections, particularly for the south of the city. I'm very pleased that we've got the skate park underway, and the skate park in Mount Cotton Park will be presented along with other improvements like lighting and an increased dollar. We've got some great connectivity projects, footpaths and connections, park improvements for Redland Bay, Bayview Conservation Area. The Eastern Escarpment is now under consultation, and tracks and trails connections through Sheldon. So there are a lot of exciting things to talk about. I am hopeful that very soon we'll have some great announcements in the area of new sporting fields and sporting facilities for all of the city, and particularly for the southern part of the city. So overall, while there are difficulties with some of the areas of the budget, I will be supporting the budget. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Tolte. Councillor Hughes.
Thank you, Mayor and colleagues. I would like to open my budget statement echoing my council colleagues and extend true thanks and respect for our council's finance team, led by our Chief Financial Operator and Officer, Deborah Corbett-Hall, and also Nola Barton, our rating guru. And I looked behind me, and Nola's not here today. Please extend my thanks to her. You are both very talented and capable leaders. Some basic budget summaries, I think, notes. On the 7th of August, the 6th of November, the 9th of February 2018, which is always going to be a hard day, and the 14th of May 2018 are the next four dates that the rates are due. So residents and councillors, for our rating team, they like those dates to be noted in our diaries. And Nola has taught me that one very, very well. For those interested in Council's revised debt policy, and we have spoken about that, see page 3, Schedule of Forecast Debt, that shows the proposed new loans for the Cleveland Aquatic Centre, should we take that up. I think that's a great page with a really clear picture. And sitting behind me is Finance Manager Matthew O'Connor. He has led the financial strategy for Council. It has been developed, including the long-term financial forecast, as we have already mentioned. He's setting parameters to ensure financial stability. The financial strategy 2017 for 10 years to 2027 is a 56-page comprehensive document that is valuable insight and available to all residents. I would again personally like to thank Matthew for his attention to detail, his gentle manner and support through the budget workshops. Thank you, Matthew. You've really helped me a lot. The fees and charges section of the budget is where Council sets basic housekeeping administration costs. From the simple task of a photocopied document to the more involved development application fees to our important health and environment charges and the much discussed and hotly debated animal management fees. Just that general reminder from that team, please ensure your pets are registered. Get in quick. Regarding the budget estimates and fixing of rates and special charges outlined in the budget, the annual budget at a glance bullet points, as our Mayor and councillors have referred to with the $82 million capital expenditure, I would like to specifically speak to the highlighted waste program of $240,375. Many may wonder why I would choose to speak to a program that consists of hundreds of thousands of dollars, not one of the bigger million-dollar project works listed. That is because across the city we have an engaging and interested community that are deeply aware and invested in all things waste. No one can walk anywhere without somebody saying something about the tip. As councillor for Division 8 and our Birkdale Transfer Station, I am now leading the community interest and acknowledge that I have a smile at every car that turns into the transfer station, knowing that Redlands residents are able to access the facility and drop off their waste at an extremely professional and proficient team. This is due to the prudent vision of council staff that have endorsed and driven major capital works over the past 2 years that include $2.8 million, delivery of a new haul road and hard stand, plus a bypass lane at the Birkdale facility. In the 15-16 capital allocations, council started the upgrade and spent about $837,000 and continued the works into this point past financial year, that's still to today, with a further contribution of capital allocation of almost $1.9 million to complete the upgrade, at a total cost, as I've already stated, $2.8 million. The good news story for me is that that has ensured the safety and improved user access at the Birkdale Transfer Station, with the hard stand at the top of the hill a desired destination. With the panoramic views offered, it's a shame that we only use it to visit to drop off our waste. Residents and colleagues, I would like to again mention that the capital budget spend for our city's waste is down to $240,375, which equates this year to $75,000 for minor capital works improvements and $165,000 for mobile garbage bins. This delivers, as Peter Best, our general manager, has shared with me, a normal capital spend pattern for waste. So thank you very much to that team. It's a fantastic resolve. On that, I would like to finish and say thank you to all involved.
Thanks, Councillor Hughes. Councillor Elliott.
Thanks, Mayor. Well, I think the officers have had enough glow radiated. They do a great job. I'll leave it at that. I'd like to thank my colleagues, everybody. These are never easy documents to get through. It takes us a long time, and people say, what do you do at council? I said, well, we spend about three-quarters of our year doing the budget for next year, and it rolls around that as far as it goes. My previous colleagues, I agree. Councillor Bishop raised the price. You can't keep it down all the time. And you can see that the blowouts this year, something like that, but we have depreciation increases of $5 million. These things have to be accounted for. Total's 58, but I think it went up $5 million, you know, sort of that's a backhand you got early in the game. Things like that. Councillor Gleeson and Councillor Telly aren't obviously happy with the business rates. Nobody is. You want to, if you do, it's like the you put your frog in the water and you bring it up to slow boil. But if we did this on all our categories, the residents are the number one people I'm looking after. That's number one. In the multiplier, it's number one. We need to look at our categories. It's a moving feast all the time. And if we took a little bit off everybody all the time and it would all look up, we wouldn't have these big increases. So certainly I flag the councillors that you really need to look at these things, because when the going gets tough, things have to jump, and they jump up high in one big go, and nobody wants to do that. And I'm not sure if we've got the equivalent of Mount Cooper at Birkdale, but I heard the white paste going up the top of the dump is like a picket fence. I've yet to enjoy that tour. So thanks very much. All in all, and I must tell the community, I've worked hard to try and get an infrastructure charge up for the Bay Islands. I'll continue to work on that. But generally, this document's good and look forward to its implementation. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Edwards.
Thank you. Welcome to another budget. from my understanding is that a mayor can deliver it to any councils, and I would like to thank the Mayor for having us all on this journey. We've all got buy-in to this. We've all gone through many, many, many workshops and argued about different things, and some things we're not happy with and some things we are, so hopefully we've got there. Each year we have an improved end-of-year result from where we've said we're going to be in the budget. So I just printed out the last couple of years' predictions of where we'd be at the end of the last 2 years, and we end up being far, far in a better position than that. So I don't think this year is going to be any different. We're, as an organisation, we're quite clever at finding efficiencies. We've got a good track record of sound financial management in this council, and we're in a better position than many other councils throughout the state. Budgets are hard because you've got community expectations of what they'd like, and we've got the reality of there's a financial burden to them if we deliver more. I think a lot of us have had over the past year, let's say concerned residents ring and say, I pay my rates, why don't I have X, Y and Z? The reality is that rates don't cover everything. In fact, our level of dependence on general rates is about 34%. And in this year's budget, its rates is 29.6% of budget income, which is probably pretty close to employee costs. So there's a whole lot of money there needs to be raised, which is we're not relying on the residents for. It's utility charges, water charges, grants, investment returns, etc. And they make up the bulk of the income of the council. But that doesn't lessen my concern of not having pressure on rate rises, because it affects our community greatly. And so we look for other ways to improve our income streams. And one of the ways we've done that is looking for the Redlands Investment Corporation. And whilst we're still in that embryo phase, I suppose, I, like many other councils, are looking at ways to generate future income streams, and that's what we should be focused on throughout the organisation, how we can get other income streams without depending on our ratepayers. Our financial ratios are all pretty well sound, except the asset sustainability ratio, but I won't go down there. Again, the operating surplus ratio, it's in the red at minus 4.26%, but that's going to close towards green. It might even end up green, we don't know. Capital works budget, $82 million. That's a big ask. You've got a challenge in front of you, Mr. Best. But the best thing is that I've seen is that we've been improving, getting better as an organisation, as rolling out these capital projects. And capital projects can actually save us money in the long run. And I'd just like to just mention one of those things, which is close to my heart, is the Green Seal program, which has got a cost-benefit return. The long-term reality is, as we deliver these lower-cost sealed roads, we're saving on the maintenance of those gravel roads. And what officers tell me, that we're actually going to be saving millions and millions and millions of dollars in the outlying years, because we're sealing those roads. Our recent rain events is probably testament to that. We're on the islands. I saw so many roads eroded, and I asked about the maintenance of them. They said, yeah, we had to put a lot of money into maintenance of those gravel roads, but we didn't have to touch those green seal roads we put down there. So we should be looking at ways we can have spending our capital smartly and saving us money in the longer term. Macleay Island Foreshore Car Park and asbestos camping, capping. Wow, this has been out there for years and years and years. And I can't wait till we see some activity down there. And it will be delivered this year. And I invite all councillors to celebrate this rather large undertaking and go down there for a photo op or something like that. Share the love, share the joy, because it is a big project. And also probably gives us opportunity to think going forward, is there smarter alternate ways we can look to provide parking and things like that, which not necessarily, well, we don't have to revisit such huge expenditure amounts, but it's great to see that happening. Also note that the TransLink charge is to finish in December 2018. I know that's not in this budget, but again, I feel lots of calls while we're paying this. There'd be no way in the world I'd ever want to get rid of TransLink because it's been such a benefit to the islands, and I think it's one of those key things to promote tourism and developments on the islands. Look, I'm just going to wrap it up saying that this is a living document, this budget. Sure, there's projects we'd like to see in, and because we review it and things change, there will be projects that will be brought in which don't anticipate now and services that we might be able to provide. So there's never been any budget I've seen that's been all things to all people. But I do believe that this is a responsible budget and is probably appropriate for where we are at this stage. And I thank my fellow councillors' contribution to all those many, many hours. And it won't feel like very long before we have to go through it all again. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Edwards. Councillor Hewlett.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. yes, I'm going to support the budget. Redlands is a small city with some big challenges ahead. We don't have the rate base that some of our neighbours have. We don't have large commercial areas, industrial areas. We don't have high-rise apartments at the Gold Coast and Brisbane do. We don't have extensive CBD areas. So we've got a relatively small rate base to pull from to provide some of these services that the community have become used to. We've got an extensive coastline. Our marine infrastructure is excessively expensive. It's subject to state permits. We've got 6 habited islands. As Mark just pointed, Councillor Edwards just pointed out, we're spending an $8.2 million in excess of that with state and council on Macleay Island car park alone. We have seawalls, we have jetties, we have erosion issues, we have all of these things. And I mean, it just astounds me. In Victoria Point next year, we have $1.1 million just on the Coochie barge ramp. We have over $1 million being spent on Thompson Beach, which is work that's been leading up to that. We've got work on Wilson's Esplanade to be done. I mean, these are foreshores that someone like Ipswich doesn't have these kind of issues, and they're a massive impost on our revenue. I'm just saying, for a small city, we have a lot of expenditure in that area. I mean, and us people, and it's, I know that us councillors with coastlines get a little parochial at times because we see the value of our foreshores and our shorelines to tourism, particularly. So, going forward, I think the sporting fields, I'm extremely excited about what we do in the sporting field area. We're desperately short in sporting fields. I'm excited to see what happens with the Cleveland Pool rehabilitation, whatever we do there. Because and these are large capital projects that we've got to think about. How is that going to impact other capital as we move forward, and how do we get the funds for that? I'd personally like to congratulate me. I actually feel more confident this year with the new ELT members, Peter Best and John and Andrew Chesterman. I feel more confident they're on board. I have to give credit to Deb and her team for the work they did on the budget. Absolutely, and our group managers too, people like Lex Smith, Donna Wilson, Graham Simpson, Gary Fatinas, Candy Dorton, Tracy Walker. They lead exceptional teams in what they do. They're bending over backwards to help us each and every day, whether it's through customer requests or just information. I think they've done an exceptional job this year, as they do every year. I forgot to mention David Jeans in planning as well. So I just want to thank them as well for making my life a little easier, and we know we're all imposed with so much work from year to year. I think it's a good budget. We are still benchmarking a lot lower than many other areas in commercial rates. This city is, when you compare to Brisbane, Ipswich or Gold Coast, our commercial rates, industrial rates are considerably cheaper. So I think, as Councillor Elliott pointed out, if they don't pay, our residents pay. And we have a lot of elderly aged residents in this city. I've got 6 retirement villages in my division alone. And those people are under cost of living pressure. So the less pressure we can put on residents, the better. So I will support the budget, and thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Hewlett. Councillor Gollo.
Thanks, Madam Chair. First of all, I'd just like to say thank you to the officers as well. Being a rookie councillor, there's a lot to learn. It's been an interesting 12 months. The community, however, has an expectation on us to display some leadership and maturity. And this budget reflects a balance of needs and requirements over what the community actually wants. It's a culmination of months of work. We've invested in areas that the community has demanded we act upon. We've listened to the community and taken action or considered what the city requires, i.e. the green seal projects, looking at new sporting fields. In my particular area, there's been a focus on upgrading parks and livability, so there's been an investment in new footpaths, etc., cycleways, which is a 50-50 split between us and the state. Basically, we've moved forward on a lot of purchases to do with environmental projects. I know throughout my parks I've got a lot of new koala trees or eucalypt trees being planted. There's been purchases down in South Street where basically we've taken that land back from developers to bring back into environmental corridors. As a council, we've stood firm and we've taken action. We've listened to the community, and I think this budget is reflective of that. So once again, I'd just like to say thank you for the guidance from all the officers. We've worked hard, and hopefully we'll continue to achieve in the next 12 months. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Golay. Councillor Mitchell?
Yes, thank you, through you, Mayor. Yeah, look, it's great responsibility, the city budget, and it's a bit of a tough gig, so I don't think we can give the officers too much glow, and thanks, Murray, so I'll add that as well. CEO, the Mayor, and all of the officers, you really are so professional, and you get us there with your patience, Barocca, coffee, whatever's required, so thank you. To my councillors, yep, great. Love your input, love your passion, particularly when it's tough and it's not popular and you're representing your community, when you know you're going to get a bit of a beating either from the other councillors or indeed your community. Circumstances this year have been tough like they are most years, but the principle-based approach that we've all, I believe we're appreciating, have certainly made things a little bit easier. Council does face revenue pressures from both forces maybe within and not within our control. And I acknowledge, like many of us have, that we're very respectful of the cost of pressures for our individual ratepayers and our households. It's also beholden on us that an increase, while maybe unwelcome, if we don't sometimes look at increasing revenue streams, whether through rates or other investment opportunities, well, we're staring down a dark future if we don't have just enough revenue to keep us going in a sustainable fashion. Certainly continue to support our city's low debt policy position. Not going to be in a position to support any the lazy use of debt across our city and burden those coming into the future. But certainly if there are intergenerational projects like Cleveland Aquatic Centre, then I think sometimes there is some smart borrowing when rates are low. I think the headline rates have been picked apart reasonably well. I think we've done quite well as a group to keep the rises as low as we have, absorbing state bulk water prices, as we've mentioned. So I won't go there. We'll mention the commercial and industrial properties, those rates. While I acknowledge we are trying to benchmark across other councils similar to us and our regional partners, that has gone up now, and I think this larger contribution is meant to assist council in supporting the economic development and business growth through various initiatives. So let's make sure that happens. These are families and mums and dads as well. Let's keep a mature approach to that, and if there is some money needs to be invested to support business, gee, that's an easy target out there to say, why are we doing that? This is why we're doing it. They're paying their way, and we need to support them as they're now supporting our city. CapEx, yep, big project. So, and we are getting better, so that's wonderful. The roads have been mentioned. I agree. I think our roads are good and getting better, so that's wonderful. The gravel ceiling, not just on Simbi, but there's $420,000 across the mainland and the island. Certainly like to see that roll out. The $1 million or up to $1 million with the Aquatic Centre precinct, that's wonderful. $7.15 million for wastewater. I mean, it's yeah, every time we turn the tap, flush the toilets, we don't think of it. It's a lot of money every year, including over at Point Lookout, another $2.16 million for the backlog sewer going on over there, big project. $950,000 on William Ross Park this year. It's going to be wonderful for us all to enjoy. Nothing citywide, $1 million on acquisition of library books. It just slips through, but every year, you know, we provide these wonderful citywide services. RPAC, another great citywide services. That place going from strength to strength with its programs of events and experiences. $210,000 for a chiller and the audio system. We've got to keep it rolling if we want that to attract these great educational and cultural experiences to our city. Council is certainly doing its bit over on North Stradbroke Island to assist in the transition away from mining. $300,000, the Wild Rock Stairs, $670,000 for the Gorge Walk Trailhead. It's a very iconic walk, drawing some of the tourism over there. $100,000 for some beach showers, all adding to that and assisting the island as it transitions through this difficult period. Trust the state governments are going to offer the heavy financial lifting they need to as well to help us on that path forward. I'd personally hope for some ongoing and further commitment to the Cleveland CBD in future budgets. I think we've had a long period of fairly basic services and maintenance to our city's heart, and I think into the future there'll need to be both private and public investment to future-proof our city centre. Digital and transport infrastructure, public space enrichment, lighting. It's going to be needed as we look forward to as I said, future-proof the city's heart. Need to mention the Araby Bay ratepayers. We've worked hard, our councils, previous council and this council, worked very hard to find agreement and understanding around the canal special charges. The path seems to run through a minefield, and this year we certainly hit one. The well-publicised cancelling of the previous canal special charge has thrown up a huge challenge, but also offers the ultimate opportunity for change moving forward. So this year, we have a newly drafted special charge. It'll essentially function as business as usual for this financial year, I repeat, one financial year only, and then the consulting process with Raby Bay and the wider community will determine the best way forward. I believe that's meant to begin in September. We're going to need cool heads, sharp minds, and a lot of cooperation to get a great result for the whole city into the years ahead. Also want to stress the $4.3 million of revetment wall work scheduled for this financial year is to continue, so that's been locked in. So in conclusion, certainly very honoured to be part of delivering this budget. I will be supporting it. So and thanks for the community for your trust. We don't take it for granted and we work for you. So thank you.
Councillor Bogliari?
Don't know what else is left to be said. I think, though, the common theme here is simply that there's nothing more important as a board, as councillors representing our city, that we can do. And I think that has come very strongly through, that we don't take this lightly and we understand that any impact or any change we make in any category doesn't just affect that category, it affects the other categories too. And we have all sat in here and been very passionate about certain areas, and we have had some strong debates, as was previously mentioned, and we've arrived at this point. And again, I'm going to give some glow to the officers. Some officers came on board only a few weeks out and had to jump a galloping horse, and everybody has been very cooperative and worked with councillors, because I think no one underestimates the importance of long-term financial sustainability. I'm a bit Deb's love of finance and her team's excitement at it all is quite contagious. And I actually keep this book on my desk for the next year. And I would urge any resident that wants to know where your funding is going or where the funding comes from, there's very clear pie graphs. It's all set out. It is a very transparent process. And it has become more transparent as Deb keeps adding things in, needing to explain them to us, but she keeps adding things in. And I think this is all for the general public's knowledge as well as our own. It's a big budget. It's a $300 million budget, which I think might be the largest budget we've had, certainly in my time. And it gets bigger and bigger as our costs increased. You know, it's costs are going up, and you can see on page, whatever it is, 14, our cash expenditure, that will increase, and I don't think anyone can expect that not to with rising costs of steel and bitumen and everything else that council has to deal with. It's not just your normal CPI of groceries. And on page 13 is where that funding comes from. And as Councillor Edwards pointed out, rates is 29.6% of that. And you can see water and all the other revenue fundings there. And as Councillor Edwards also said, increasing funding from other sources is a priority for council. So we have our Redlands Investment Corporation, where we hope that we can get more funding through them. And anything that we do, any funding that we do increase, impacts on rates. And we take some of that 29% hopefully away. Water is a huge one. State government, you might want to talk to them. They've increased what we buy our water from by 8.47%. which is really going to impact our residents. Council has kept our water access and retail costs, you know, at the same to help residents with this. But the state government, it's very clear actually on page, now I've lost my page on that one, page 11, there's a good table there which shows the 8.47%, which is the state. And we've got no control over that, and as we have to buy the water through them, we're sort of locked in. I'm happy to see continued support for the SES. The Mayor and I are both entrenched with disaster management, and we see absolutely anywhere we go or any activity that from events that are just charity events to showground events to absolutely Cyclone Deb, the major tragedies that we have. The SES are there, and they're such a backbone, and they're a service of volunteers. So I'm very pleased to see that Council is continuing the support there. The environmental charge, I am concerned that part of that doesn't go towards acquisition anymore, and I'll continue working on that because I think our beautiful bushland is one of Council's greatest assets. We've got our foreshores and we've got our bushland, our conservation areas. Our unique environment down here is a great asset for tourism. And I think everybody doesn't begrudge paying either the SES or the environmental charges. Pensioners, pensioner rebates have not increased this year again. We've got a growing pressure with the increase of the percentages of Redlands, which are on pensions. The state government also didn't increase their rebate this year, and at present, $3.3 million is given in pension rebates each year from Redlands City Council. I was disappointed with the funding to the Donald Simpson Centre being reduced. It's a fantastic hub, but we'll work with the Centre throughout this year to ensure future sustainability with them, and I think all councillors are on board to actually make sure that the Centre is sustainable. Raby Bay, Lake and Levees, yep, we hit a landmine this year, as Councillor Mitchell mentioned. During budget deliberations, it was decided to continue with these levies for a further 12 months, but that is while public consultation occurs to decide on the way forward. So I want to stress that the way forward will be based on what the community tells us during that public consultation. I've had confirmation that all legal aspects of this continuance for 12 months has been checked and double-checked externally and internally. CapEx, it's a huge program. It is a huge program. and whether it's deliverable or not, Peter Best, we'll hand that over to you to achieve. And Peter has done an amazing job since he has been here. And like Deb, he's also increased transparency and understanding of that area. I joked before that we'll start calling him Mr. Windex, because all the documents come to you, all the information, and it's very transparent process. And I think if anyone can actually improve the processes there, because that's the feedback I'm getting. The project management office is making inroads, and through that, and Peter has got a great understanding of that, I've been told, efficiencies hopefully will be found. So not only deliverability and timeframes, but also efficiencies. I look forward to the intergenerational work through the loans which we're taking out for the aquatic precinct. It's not just for the lifesavers, which is fantastic, but our community, as the Mayor knows, has talked about wanting water play. So our young at heart, as well as our youngsters of the area, will have great water play activities, and many recreational water-based activities will be held up there. So I think that's going to be a fantastic asset for that. What else did I have here that mightn't have been quite... as Councillor Tolte said, we're all passionate about our own divisions as well as the citywide, and I'm very happy to see that various road surfacing, village streetscapes, park infrastructure, kayak launching facilities and trials, lighting and footpaths have all been included for my division. The connectivity that Councillor Tolte mentioned is something that our community is very passionate about. We love our cycling, we love our walks, and with new bush walks going in everywhere, I think that's another great tourist asset that we'll be having. So this budget is a principle-based approach, as everybody has said. We didn't take it lightly. Any increase in any rating category or any decrease in any rating category does affect other categories, not just that particular one. I don't think anyone has taken lightly increasing any of this. I'm cautious about the deliverability of our works program, but we've mentioned that the necessary efficiencies going forward, increasing revenue from other streams, are all being addressed, and every time we get a monthly update from Deb, councillors as a board can sit and actually go through this. I'd also like to thank, as Councillor Bishop just mentioned, he held it up, and good on you for mentioning it, because we haven't mentioned that, is our volunteers around the city and how much they actually save us. And we thank them as well, because all these things that go in, quite often it's the volunteers then who end up helping us run these assets. So financial strategy is the one I've got my concerns with, but I've been reassured several times now, thank you, that we will continue to review that as well, and we'll continue monitoring all the progress. And so I'd just like to thank everyone for coming together, because we're all quite strong, independent people, and getting, you know, your own family to agree on where to go for holidays is easy compared to 11 of us probably sitting around agreeing on a budget. But we have got there, and we have listened to the community, and you'll see various projects in the Capital Works are, I think, proof of that. And council owes it to our residents to consistently improve while delivering our roads, rates and rubbish, and being accountable and transparent. And I believe we are on the track to doing that and to achieving long-term financial sustainability, not just a point in time, as the CFO always says to us, a budget is, or a deficit is, a point in time. We have to be looking for that long-term financial sustainability. Thank you.
Thanks, Deputy Mayor. Just before I go back to Councillor Hughes, just a couple of points that I'd like to make. Some clarity, because I think the community does get confused with these big financial documents, and we talk about deficit and we talk about debt. They are two completely different things. We do have low debt. And I wanted to reiterate what Councillor Elliott mentioned, is the fact that before we even sit down together, we are covering a $58 million depreciation bill that we have to raise through our operating budget. So we start behind the eight ball significantly. It's accounting standards and we have to do it and we respect that. But I just to put that into context, this is deficit, not debt. That really is about how we raise revenue to fund the operational activities of our council. I would also like to reflect on some of the other comments, and I think I'm not quite sure which council mentioned it now, but we talked about looking for other revenue sources. That's incumbent on us, and we talked about RIC. And RIC does have a very clear corporate intent, which is about making sure that our community, we don't have to rely on just only raising rates for our community to provide some of those services and assets. Similarly, in my discussions with members of the Donald Simpson Centre, where they do actually achieve a great gift from council and have been for many years, they too now are looking for other revenue sources just as we are. So we all need to look at how we can better fund the operations of our organisations. I just also wanted to remind councillors and the community that budgets are definitely a moving feast. It is just a prediction in time, and we will continue to review that, and we're hoping we'll get some more state government grants and federal government grants. Certainly I know we're committed to doing that, but I just wanted to put it into context for our community that local governments across Australia receive 3.4% of the national taxation, 3.4%. And I'd just like to challenge anyone in our community to tell me how many more things that the state and federal government do than what councils do. So we actually are very much more effective and value for money on the ground. And I'll give you just an example of some of the things we do on a daily basis, just to remind people how much value you get for your rate. So, for example, we do libraries. We do roads. We collect waste. We have swimming pools. We allow you to flush your toilet and build wastewater treatment plants. We're now more and more becoming charged with economic development, creating jobs for our community. We do mosquito control, environmental improvements. You've heard about the $20 levy for the 1 million native plants. We do arts, art gallery. We have sporting fields, a number of them, and we upgrade those sporting fields, and we provide lighting for those sporting fields, often with assistance from the state, but at the same time, they are assets we manage. We do community development. We do grants. We give them support. We have numerous kilometres of pipes under our ground which provide water and take away that wastewater that we have to maintain. We have land transfer stations, we have walking tracks, we have bike tracks, we get water to your taps, we have seawalls, we're a city of islands, and you've heard the marine infrastructure spend this year is huge. That's because we're a small city but a very unique city of islands. We do erosion management, we do tourism, and the list goes on and on. We do that with 3.4% of the national taxation raised in this country. And I compare that also, when you look at your rates bill, to what people pay on an annual basis for their mobile phone, for their electricity bills, and for their gas or their petrol bills. So I guess it is tough, and no one likes raising taxes. I certainly don't. I'm pretty sure I speak for each and every one of us. But without raising those taxes, they're some of the services that your community, our community, wouldn't see. I'm going to finish where I began. This is, and I think Councillor Edwards touched on the place, on the elements of collaboration, that I don't come to you 2 weeks before and plonk a budget book in front of you. We start from scratch pretty much with everyone's views and opinions considered to come to this point about 8 months later. I'm not quite sure how long it is. It feels like we've been here a long time. And it is about compromise, and it is difficult getting, as Councillor Boglari said, working out where we're going for our holidays, to get everyone to find some middle ground. And I know some feel they're closer to it than others, but I do sincerely thank each and every one of you for your spirit of unity and compromise in bringing this budget down. It is a good budget, it's a responsible budget, and it's focused on our strategic objectives, which is what the community asked us to do over 12 months ago. So with that, I'm going to hand back to Councillor Hughes, and unless she has anything further to say, I'll put the motion.
Thank you. May I ask a question of our CFO, or is that not permitted? You
sum up now, Councillor.
Oh, okay.
Standing orders.
Okie dokes. In that, I'm putting the motion of 5.6, adoption of budget estimates and fixing of rates and charges 2017-2018. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Hughes. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. I sincerely thank you, councillors, and I close the meeting at 11 a.m. Thank you.